Good morning. We're calling to order this Wednesday, September 26, 2018 variance hearing. I'm Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, here with Eva Hatera-Taylor, who's at the controls as the executive secretary for the hearing today. Apologies for being late today. I promise this will probably never happen again. So a couple items about the agenda. Order of presentation, the applicant and or owner will be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments as to how the five findings necessary to justify granting a variance have been met. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, either proponents or opponents, will be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. And at the end, if there's any public comment in opposition, the applicant or owner will be allowed a 3 minute rebuttal. During the hearing, I may ask questions of the applicant or members of the public, and at the end of the hearing, may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement, or may indicate a potential decision today. Items on the consent calendar, and I do believe we have a couple, are matters that are considered routine. If anyone would like to speak on one of these items, please step forward. Otherwise, the items will be granted. This is very important. If there's any public comment that is intended to be in opposition to the items that are on the consent calendar, please step forward when the items are called on consent, and we will be able to take that item off of consent. Otherwise, the item would be granted. There's general public comment at the end of the hearing for items that are not on the agenda. And now the criteria for justifying a variance. Planning Code Section 305C sets forth the five findings that must be satisfied in order to justify granting a variance, and the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish these findings. And finding number one, that there are exceptional extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class district. Finding number two, that owing to such exceptional extraordinary circumstances and the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the planning code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or owner of the property. Finding number three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding number four, that the granting of such variance will not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finally, finding number five, that the granting of such variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the planning code and will not adversely affect the general plan. No decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of the decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet and provide your contact and mailing information. The written decision is the appealable decision, and the decision may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision. No decision is final until the decision letter is issued. Other items, private conversations can be disruptive during the hearing. While we do encourage parties to talk, we ask that that be done outside of the hearing room to avoid disturbing others. The next variance hearing is scheduled for Wednesday, October 24th, 2018, and audio recordings of these hearings going back to January 2011 are available on our website as a link on the hearing agenda. And now we can move on to our consent calendar.
We have three items under consent calendar. Item number one, case number 2016-007597VAR, 1310 Pacific Avenue, rear yard modification and garage door width variances sought. Item number two, case number 2017-016660VAR, 2627 to 2631 Hyde Street, rear yard variance sought. And item number three, case number 2018-003275VAR, 2955 Pierce Street, rear yard variance sought.
So is there any public comment on any of these three items? It's item number one, 1310 Pacific Avenue, item number two, 2627 to 2631 Hyde Street, or item number three, 2955 Pierce Street. Is there any public comment on any of those three items? I mean, I did hear from staff that there was some public comment and concerns related to 1310 Pacific Avenue, and the neighbor may be attending today, but is there anyone here to speak in particular on that item, 1310 Pacific Avenue? Seeing none, we will close the public hearings on these three items, and I'm inclined to grant the requested variances for item one, 1310 Pacific Avenue, item 2, 2627 to 31 Hyde Street, and item 3, 2955 Pierce Street. And we can move on to our regular calendar.
Moving to the regular calendar, case number item number 4, case number 2017-016601 VAR, 3619 Lincoln Way, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
So I'm just going to speak as freely as possible. I am attempting to build two decks on my rear property. As you can see from the variance, that this will now encroach approximately 5.8 inches into the rear yard, not maintaining the 45% open required. I have gone to planning several times to make iterations and changes to these drawings to be as compliant with the city as possible, including the original design, which had firewalls on both sides of the property line, reducing that, changing my structural design. It has cost me additional money and time and heartache. I have pictures of my neighbor's properties that I don't know if it's something that I submit to you.
You want to put that on the screen?
You can also put it on the overhead too, yeah.
Yeah, overhead.
So you can see my property on the far right of the screen, my neighbor directly to my west side, and three neighbors down on the west side also enjoy rear yard decks on both levels, as well as firewall access on the western side of the property border. That can be seen further. This is my neighbor directly to my west. You can see his two-story deck as well as firewall that extends from the near identical construction that I'm trying to achieve at my property. So this is just kind of some evidence that it conforms to the neighborhood. Additionally, that can be seen here in the Google image, where you can see that firewall has been built from third floor all the way down to the first floor of the structure. This is my neighbor at the far end of the where you can additionally see that a firewall has been granted for him to move forward with his construction. I've also spoken to both my neighbors at the western and eastern side of my property, where this would have any sort of bearing on their property. I have two letters of consent from my property owner that would be adjacent to the firewall to present that from my, that's from the upper floor neighbor, and this is from the lower floor. I don't know if you need a moment to see that. And this is from the lower floor. I also spoke to the neighbor on the eastern property line, and while she would not issue me a letter due to legal reasons, and I have email correspondence with her, she also has stated that she will not oppose any variance that I receive here. She just did not want to sign any documentation because she was worried of potential legal ramifications of such. I'm not really sure what those could be, but I'm not here to dispute her at that. I feel like I have gone to extraordinary lengths to make as many concessions as humanly possible. The only thing that I've met with the city planning multiple times to make sure that all of my drawings are now code compliant. I am within all the fire code responsibilities. And my deck is 3 feet from the adjacent property line, and I am building the firewall to complete code. Many of my neighbors are enjoying decks, and this has been a very long and arduous process, and I'm simply asking for a very small variance. Additionally, I know it's not really something considered by the city typically, but my building is set back 10 feet from the street, which reduces this 45% open area, and if it was not this 5 feet 8 inches would kind of be a null issue. I'm hopeful that I can get a variance on this so that I can
go further with my planning and ultimately get this construction underway.
Thank you. I mean, I don't see any issues with a variance request per se. I mean, the addition of decks to have usable open space, that's direct access from the dwelling units on the property is quite reasonable, and appreciate the changes that have been made. My only concern, and you know, maybe can address it now, is the potential impacts, given that the adjacent properties to the east have all of their rear yards abutting on your side property line. The deck that you're proposing is about 3 feet away. Do you have any photos to the east? And I know you said you have a letter from one of the property owners to the east, and I was wondering which property owner, because some would be more impacted than others.
It was the letter that I, or the email correspondence, and the person that I reviewed it with is the property owner directly to the east of the deck.
Okay.
So it would be the most, the person that is most impacted. I also, if you look in the...
On the aerial, it looked like there was, there a tree there?
There is a tree there currently, and I've, okay. I've spoken to them about that tree. It projects into my backyard right now. There should not be any requirements for me to alter that tree in any way, shape, or form. That tree only projects in my backyard maybe 2 feet.
But that provides screening between the deck and their rear yard.
And it will also maintain screening between
okay.
the two.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I needed to know. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And we're on item number 4 for 3619 Lincoln Way. Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, in particular noting that the letters of support or non-opposition that were received from the adjacent parties, and also the fact that the tree on the adjacent property to the east will provide effective screening from the deck to the adjacent property's rear yards. And we can move on to the next.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2017-015277VAR, 477 Belvedere Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. I'm Dennis Budd, a principal at Astor Architects and the project architect. I'm here today with my colleague, Grace Mariochi, as well as the property owners of the subject property at 477 Belvedere, Laura Pincus and Brian Schwartz. Their adjacent neighbor to the north, Molly Mayburn, is here as well to demonstrate her support of the proposed project. Shown on the overhead, our project consists of a two-story horizontal rear addition at the first and second floors. At the first floor garage level, living space is developed for a mudroom, laundry, guest bedroom and bath, media room, and a small study for one of the owners, with a second small study added on the third floor. The owners are both research doctors and spend time working from their home offices. At the second floor, the main living level, a family room is added, opening to a deck with stairs to the rear yard below. As outlined in the aerial view, the addition stays within the 12-foot length for a one-story pop-out beyond the 45% line, with the exception of one stair tread that encroaches 11 inches beyond the allowable 12 feet. Shown on the overhead now, our proposed addition with the requested variance area indicated in red. The deck height ranges from approximately 11 feet 8 inches to 12 feet 10 inches above grade instead of the 10-foot height limit, thus requiring a rear yard variance under section 134. Shown on the overhead, should the same proposal have been made on a level lot, a variance would not be required. The downslope of the lot in conjunction with the elevation of the home's existing floor levels results in a project requiring the variance. When aligning the proposed rear deck addition to the existing main floor level, which is indicated on the front elevation, at the front of the building is a 6'5" height above the sidewalk at the lot center line. Shown on the overhead, the project has incorporated a ramp at the first floor to accommodate a 9-foot ceiling height while keeping the home accessible for both the owner for both the owner's aging parents that plan to move into the lower level bedroom and two young children. Similarly, at the second floor main living level, access to the deck was important for safe and accessible use. Adding steps to bring the deck down to a 10-foot height above grade would result in difficulty and potential danger for aging parents and young children moving between these spaces, and also result in a loss of usable floor area below and at the deck level. Therefore, we designed the outdoor living space to be adjacent and level to the indoor living spaces. On the overhead now showing renderings, it's important to understand that our current proposed design as seen in the renderings evolved after extensive conversations and multiple proposed designs with neighbors and the residential design advisory team. A post-RDAT review meeting on March 23rd with team leader David Winslow resulted in our current proposal respecting mid-block open space through side setbacks. While sketching options together, David proposed a scheme which utilized side setbacks of 5 feet from the north and 3 foot 6 inches from the south, with the exterior down, stair down along the southern property line. We revised our initial design with the setbacks that RDAT suggested and sent several design variations back to the team for their feedback before arriving at this current proposed design. As far as neighbor support throughout the design process, it was important for our clients, Laura and Brian, to have a proposed scheme which would not negatively impact either adjacent neighbor. Along the southern property line, as seen in the right rendering, our proposed design shows a sloping guard wall, which decreases in mass as it follows the stairs from the deck down to grade. Since our original pre-app meeting, Laura and Brian have worked closely with the tenants of the adjacent unit most impacted by our proposed design. Thank you, Mr. Sanchez. I would add Molly Mayburn, an owner of the adjacent property in the north, has come today on behalf of Laura and Brian to support the project.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the thorough presentation. Thank you. Is there any public comment on this item? And we are on item 5 for 477 Belvedere Street.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
I'll try not to take it all. Good morning. My name is Molly Mayburn. I am the owner and resident of 475 Belvedere Street, the direct adjacent property. And I just wanted to reiterate what I said in my letter, which is that we have worked collaboratively with our neighbors and their architects to come up with a project design that I think goes as far as possible to ameliorate any concerns we had with regard to additional shadow and impacts to privacy and views from our property. And I think that they've done a good job of balancing those concerns with those of that had been expressed by their planner as well as their own needs for the property. So as it stands today, the current design, we are in support of it and would urge you to approve it. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there any other public comment on this item, on item 5 for 477 Belvedere Street? Seeing none, be inclined to close the public hearing and inclined to grant the requested variance, knowing that it's a minor deviation from an otherwise code-compliant permitted obstruction in section 136, and the changes that have been made are to account for the topography and lining up with the existing building configuration. Appreciate the changes that have been made by the project sponsor throughout the process in response to residential design team comments as well. Thank you.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2017-007285VAR, 299 Edgewood Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Rear back and very, very narrow front. slope is very steep, which is why we think that it was originally built so close to the edge of the property. And if we were to keep the, if we were to be code compliant and have the rear setback at 35 feet instead of the existing 18 feet, we couldn't use the existing stairway, we couldn't keep consistent aesthetics. It is a Tudor home that we're proposing to keep the same aesthetic. Third story addition, which is in keeping with the same style.
Thank you. So that's my understanding, the Section 311 neighborhood notice expires in a couple weeks on October 12th. There may have been some, from my understanding from staff, is there some public comment and concerns about a potential addition of an ADU to the building? It's not at all part of the project today?
Not today.
And has a building permit been submitted for that?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any public comment for item number six for 299 Edgewood Avenue? Please step forward.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Thank you. My name is David Shear. I live next door at 289 Edgewood. We would like to support this variance, but we would like to ask that there be an additional variance imposed if other modifications
So a standard, or did you have anything else you wanted to say? I can respond to that.
Secondly, we look forward to working with the construction company with respect to noise, traffic, that type of stuff. I understand this isn't the forum to do that.
Right.
But of course, we're concerned about this other addition that people, that they're not part of the same conversation.
Okay.
So we'd like to make sure that we have another opportunity to talk about this other addition with respect to a new variance.
Okay, thank you. So as a standard condition of all variances, we have a condition that if there are changes to the project that in the future, that we will review that and determine if a new variance is required. The addition of an ADU within the envelope of the building would not trigger that, and there are actually certain, given that it's a single family dwelling, there are certain protections under state law where we don't have the ability to say no to an ADU on a single family dwelling given state law if it meets certain requirements. So I can tell you that we would have a standard condition in there that, in particular, if there are any physical changes, exterior changes, increases in the building envelope, we would have the ability to review that and may determine that a new variance hearing is necessary. But in terms of just the addition of a dwelling unit, of an ADU within the existing building envelope, that would not be something that would trigger a new variance hearing, nor, I think, could we do that, because that would be in conflict with state law. There is always the ability to, given that it would be under a separate building permit application, to either request discretionary view of that with the Planning Commission. Generally, notice is not required, but you still have the ability to do a discretionary view or appealing the building permit to the Board of Appeals. But just want to make sure that you're aware of what the kind of rights are for someone who does seek at a later date an ADU. But really what we're looking at today is just the addition for
exactly
this master bedroom.
And we do support this,
okay,
what you're talking about today.
Great. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Thank you. And thank you for your insight.
Thank you. Any other public comment on this item number six for 299 Edgewood Avenue? Seeing no other public comment, because public hearing inclined to grant the requested variance. It is a quite a large single-family home, and I think in other cases I have denied similar requests, although those have been on much smaller lots. I think this lot is about 13,000 square feet, and also given the topography of the lot, really there's no development that, and given the existing siting of the building, there's no development or very little development that could occur within the buildable area. I think that the proposal is quite reasonable in terms of adding the additional master bedroom and habitable space, so would be inclined to grant the requested variance. And we have the standard condition in there that if there are further exterior changes, we would review that on a case-by-case basis and determine if a new variance hearing is required. And with that, we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2017-011268 VAR, 3474 17th Street, exposure variance sought. Sure.
Wing Lee here, architect of record. So what we have here is a property enrichment area, and we have the property manager, Brandon, here too. So he would like to speak on behalf of owner regarding one concern from the neighbor. So we have a three-story building in Mission area. Ground floor is all garage, except all the way in the back, there's one unit, which is vacant. And then second floor, we have three units. And then top floor, we have three units. So what we are proposing is, on the ground floor, we would like to propose three ADU units. There's one at the front that we are not asking for variance. I'm showing you the garage condition. Basically, right now, no parking space is part of the lease agreement with any existing residents. So we have 5-6 parking spaces and some storage area and then electrical meters here and all that. The lot is relatively long, 115 feet plus or minus. And the three ADU I mentioned before, one is facing the street, so that one we are not asking for variance. And then we originally proposed three ADU units facing the side yard, and we worked with the planning department, and we agreed that, well, three may be too much, so we proposed two. One interesting thing we're trying to convince you guys is the side yard, yeah, is 8 feet in width, but we would like to convince you that, well, the adjacent property is setback, so we have additional 4 feet plus or minus, so the total width is plus or minus 12 feet if you measure from our building to the adjacent facade wall, if you will, on the ground floor. And the building setback at the second floor and up. And if you look at the diagram on the screen, the rear part of the adjacent building sets back even more with an open wood stair. So we would encourage you to look into this as part of your consideration. These are the dimensions here, so basically. And the floor to floor, this is the existing condition looking back to the street. The fence right now is plus or minus 7 feet, and we are trying to lower them to optimize the natural light, direct or indirect light. And this is the view looking to the back. So you can see the open staircase I was talking about before here. And this piece of bump out, if you will, we're going to eliminate that because this is just a basic storage area, and the ground floor basically is well underutilized right now. This is the view looking at the fence, and we were planning to plant some vertical landscape feature there. You kind of see the before and after kind of idea, so to enhance the experience for the occupant taking the lower unit facing the side yard. Thank you.
Is there any other comment from your project team?
Yes, My name is Brandon Lugal. I'm the building manager, property manager for the 3474 17th Street. And they just asked me to be here because there had been some concern that from one of the neighbors regarding possible displacement of tenants in the building. He was worried that we, with this construction, would be moving people out. And just wanted to make sure that it's clear to everybody that there will be no displacement. The construction would take place completely in what is right now the garage, which is a completely empty area. It does have, as you mentioned, five open spaces that are not rented out to anyone. They haven't been rented since I took over that property in March 2016. So it's a lot of just empty space that is being wasted at this moment. And the demand, at least for apartments in that area, the Mission has been getting higher pretty much every year. So one other thing, so then first, there will be no displacements. It shouldn't affect the residents except for the noise during construction hours, which we keep from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. The only one person that has spoken to me about how long it'll be, how many units will be, was just one of the long-term residents in the building. And he was pretty happy with the fact that we're actually adding new units. So other than that, like, there has been no questions about this. They have been aware of the construction that will be taking place if we get the approval for it for several months now. So this is that was it on my end. Just wanted to make sure that residents are aware there have been no concerns raised by them. And I think it would be a great thing for the neighborhood to have at least some more new units in that area.
Thank you. I appreciate you coming out today and the proactive nature. I mean, with ADUs, we have seen conflicts with tenants, and I appreciate that you have communicated the project with the tenants. They're aware there may be some issues, but just to confirm, as a professional property manager, you're well aware of the rules and requirements of the rent board, and yes, you'll follow all such rules and requirements.
Okay.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item number 7 for 3474 17th Street? Seeing none, and we close the public hearing. The ADU process is still relatively new over the last few years, but it did dramatically reduce some of the requirements, in particular for exposure, first from having being a code-complying rear yard or a public street to down to a 15 by 15 foot area, and just over the last month or so was further reduced to a 9 foot area, meaning I think 225 square feet. When this most recent change occurred, I did not think that I would be able to support a variance for exposure, given that the requirements have been reduced and then reduced further. However, I think that this is a compelling argument, given we're defective in one dimension, but the overall area is quite large. At the floor above, it does have the required dimension. It's about 9'7" to the property line. We do have to consider all requirements need to be met on the subject property, so we can't consider adjacent properties as meeting the requirements, but certainly it can be a consideration in terms of the quality of the light and air. And I think that particularly with the revisions that have been made, it's a nice touch having that corridor, which is going to be required, but having that separate the units, give a bit more privacy to those units that are going to face onto the light well. And I would be supportive of the variance application, given that it will provide, I think, quality exposure for the proposed ADUs, that the two ADUs that will be on that light well. So inclined to grant the requested variance, close the public hearing, and move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2018-003527 VAR, 52 Mirabel Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Jeremy Paul on behalf of Mike Scagliotti and Mia Peer at 52 Mirabel. The house is strange and is not well suited to family living. And if you take a look at any of the facade photographs that are in your packet, you'll see it's not well suited to most neighborhoods in San Francisco's, including this one. There are no less than 5 different kinds of siding material and window treatments on this building. It has one bedroom, one master bedroom, and then another bedroom on the lowest level. It's not set up for family living. We took this on very directly to try to address the family's needs. It's a family with two small children that have been living in the master bedroom along with the parents. And we're trying to sort out the best way to improve this house while minimizing the impacts on the surrounding properties. We held a pre-application neighborhood outreach meeting back in January. The only response was from the neighbor on the other side, who provided a letter of support, which I believe you have in your packet. The neighbor on the other side has very recently come forward to express concerns about impacts on her home. We can go to the zoom out, please. Is there somebody doing this?
There should be a button on the top.
So this is the subject property, and this is a property line wall. I researched the permit record, and none of this appears on the permit record. Nonetheless, we wish to respect it as an existing feature of our neighbor's home. Our proposal, as in front of you, shows a walkway to a deck to provide access to the rear yard from the upper living level. She has asked that we close that off to restrict a possible future congregation spot or a place that might create a disturbance along the property line if kids are gathering there. And so we have agreed to eliminate that at her request. The floor plan as proposed works for us. It works for the adjacent properties. It meets the intent of the code in the same way as recent variances you have granted for mass reduction in the Bernal Heights Special Use District. You have those. I don't think it's necessary for me to bring those directly into the record, but we have vetted this project really well with design review. David Winslow went through this with us and made several design iterations before we came up with the one that we're proposing today. This has not gone to Section 311. We have not filed a building permit application yet. We felt that this variance was important enough that we would not be comfortable filing a building permit application until we felt that we could get the zoning administrator's support for the rear modifications to make this a more livable home. Mia, if you'd like to come up and make a few comments.
Good morning. This remodel came about out of the impetus was having to redo all of the exterior. The house was waterproofed incorrectly, so we decided to try to make lemons out of lemonade. And after living here for about 2.5 years, we realized that a house that was originally built for two single men without kids isn't suited for a family of four. So. And it's not as cozy as I thought it would be, sharing a bedroom with two small children, sharing one bathroom with two small children as well. The main living floor doesn't have a bathroom. We would like to add a half bath. Not only do we have our kids, but we do have other kids coming over, and it would be nice to have a place that all of the kids could play together in a way that flows together. Right now, the design of the main living floor gets bottlenecked and jammed in the dining room, living room area. The other side, the dining room kitchen, where it just gets pinched and there really isn't even room for an adult or even an eight-year-old now to walk by or walk through. So we were hoping to just make it more livable, more friendly, and move the space around just to have better flow. And then the downstairs would be to have, right now you can have one person at the bottom of the stairs in the entryway. We would like to have more space for kids' shoes and jackets and all of the stuff that comes along with having kids. And additionally, you know, we do understand that we are part of a neighborhood. We like our neighbors. I know Corrine is here and she's going to voice her concerns, but we have always wanted to work with our neighbors, especially on both sides, and just to keep them involved and part of the process, because we do know that we are going to be living with these neighbors for hopefully the next 20 years or more, and so we don't want to affect that relationship. Thank you.
Thank you. And could you explain again the revision that's proposed with regards to the deck facing the adjacent property to the west, I guess it is? What level is that change at? And it's not yet reflected on the plans that
it's
we have.
It's not yet reflected on the plans. If we go to sheet
A103 or A104? Because the first or second?
A104.
Okay.
I think shows it well. Basically, what we have, here's the floor plan. And I'll zoom in. Right there. We have a door going to a walkway deck, which gets to this stair in the backyard. This is the property line. The building actually overhangs the property line a little bit here. And there is a window here. That window. And so we have agreed to remove this door change this so that it's a
Are those windows on the adjacent property on the property line?
Yes, they are.
And they're operable windows?
They appear to be.
Okay. But you propose to remove the door and to remove at least that side?
Well, we want to keep a small balcony. We would like to be able to make a green planted area.
Okay.
Elevated, but with the access to that rear yard is going to go through the kids' room.
Okay.
Rather than exiting from the hall.
So the only change would be removal of the door.
Right. And narrowing of that, of the balcony.
Through the addition of plants or something, or planters. Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we're working actively with the neighbor, Corrine, and her architect, John Lum, is here.
Okay.
To try to work out the best way to make this work for her.
All right.
As far as we're concerned, it's going to be 10 years before the kids are balking at the idea of going through their bedroom to get to the backyard. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it.
And so the existing building, when was it constructed in 2004?
It was reconstructed.
Reconstructed, that's right. And does the building currently exceed the mass reduction requirements?
It does.
And will this bring it closer into conformity, or what's the discrepancy between?
It does not bring it closer into conformity, but it makes gestures in that direction. To bring it fully into conformity would create a real narrow space at the rear that isn't practical for family living. And given the topography, it's a very steep down slope there in the backyard, and we're butted up against the adjacent house. It was Mr. Winslow's opinion that the way we were massing it fully addressed the intent of the mass reduction plan.
And there's no kind of substantial increase in floor area. There's no additional floor, and
That's
this is
correct.
All generally the existing envelope. It's just regularizing it.
Correct. And at the front, as we're reconfiguring the front facade, there's actually a reduction.
Okay.
We're not trying to max this out in any way, but boy, the front facade really needs some help. And I think that Mr. Reed and Medium Plenty has done a beautiful job with the proposed, reflecting the patterns on the block.
Okay. Thank you. Any public comment on this item, item number 8 for 52 Mirabel Avenue?
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Oh, well, Scott, I'm John Lund, the architect, and Corrine Dowling here is the neighbor who lives at 48 Mirabel. Just to give you some context, yes, we are actively working with the neighbor, and it's been a very good relationship and trying to resolve some of these issues. I did want to say that I believe that there are ways to do this project, get the same size of rooms, et cetera, without even seeking a rear yard variance, but because this hasn't been analyzed really well, I also think the mass reduction, there's mass that they're leaving on the table that they haven't considered, but I wanted to give Corrine first a time to speak first.
Thank you. You each could have 3 minutes, so if you'd like to finish up, feel free to do so.
So as I said, I'm very pleased that everyone's trying to get along. Everyone's trying to understand when you build something, there is impact. But let me just give you this diagram here I've done, and I also, Ian has been really great to work with. I would hate to overstep my boundaries or sense of telling another architect what to do, because I also resent that when another architect tells me what to do. But can I have the overhead here? And so this is just the bottom floor, and this this would actually be technically the second floor. This is the first floor. This shows what they're calling the first floor, the main living space. We understand the living room probably wants to be wider than the 12-foot determination. I don't know how they determine the rear yard, but anyways, the code reads that if you blow out past the required rear yard, you have to subtract from the rear. So you can see they're close. And for Corrine, this is not a huge issue at all for them to grow that. So they could get this plan. The second floor plan, though, is interesting. Let me just show you this here. I'll try to just wrap this up quickly. I just did an analysis. And could we just get it a little bit further back? Sorry. Just to understand what could be get a bigger picture here. Is there a way to do that?
There should be a scroll wheel, I think, or a button.
Okay. I wanted to get the whole image here. So this is just my quick analysis. The green is the existing house. The red is what they're asking for. You can see the size of the bedroom to the left, which is decent. So they could get a 12-foot wide bedroom. I know they've decided that they could eliminate the walkway. They could get a full bath, and it would work for them. So I did, finally, to wrap this up, I did send them this kind of desired plan, which is, it actually works with the concept that you would be asking for a little bit of growth in the rear. They could get the rear deck off for the kids' bedroom and still maintain that non-conforming section, which is that curve. I mean, they may not like the curve, but they are doing this kind of constructivist kind of facade, so maybe they could work with that. That's how we left it in this conversation.
Thank you. And I guess my question is, I appreciate that there are different ways to design the home, but how would those changes positively impact your client? What are the negative impacts now?
It's mainly just the fact that the walkway was a major change because obviously people could walk through there, but it's mainly the windows that Jeremy showed that. The sunlight that comes through there in the morning, et cetera, is a major change. In fact, that's her bedroom.
Okay.
So it growing the building over in that location is impactful to her.
And
so,
those are property line windows? They appear to be.
I believe that the dormer is set back a little bit from the property, but they are, and they're not the only windows this in the room, but they are something that she really enjoys. And of course, we're trying to, they're asking for a variance to, to. So no, we want to balance that off.
Certainly work with existing conditions, but I'm wondering, is that even legal, the operable windows at the property line?
Well, they were original to the house, I believe.
Okay.
And luckily, the house that the neighbors live in, that is a new house. It's not a reconstruction. It was an empty lot. So therefore, the house was designed around Corrine's house because she knew the new owner, the owners of that who constructed it.
And what you were showing was, and Bernal doing the alternate rear yard whereby you encroach further, but you offset, and
right.
You're arguing that the offset would further protect the window of your client.
Yes, and then, okay. You know, maybe that curve or whatever it was truncated, it could become the non-conforming portion of the building, and hence it would, everyone would win. They would get the another bedroom, which is approximately the same size that they wanted, with a separate bath, and the master suite in the front, it does not alter. It actually gets a little bit bigger in respects to the laundry.
And then is the window impact at the proposed changes on the second floor? It's at the top floor of the subject building. That's where the conflict would be with your client's window.
They were actually proposing to expand their bathroom so that it actually would become a solid wall or a opaque window.
Yeah.
So she would be looking directly onto that versus right now having a setback and then it curves around.
But I think it's just that top floor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The bottom okay. floor, the living floor is less of a concern.
Okay.
And you know that is a very, she lives in a very funky house. The luckily the previous owners actually had put in a nice opaque white glass fence and to acknowledge that she has these very odd windows that are facing onto that fence. So they have privacy, yet she still gets to enjoy the light.
But it,
and we're very, really, I mean, ultimately, they are trying to get along. It's very nice that the proposal didn't, you know, grow the addition all the way to right to the property line, which I know theoretically could have happened. So
okay.
It's not like this should be a contentious situation.
And it's already, I mean, they're not even building to their side property line. They're still maintaining a 3-foot setback.
Yes, yes. So. But just in regards to the mass reduction, you know, there are some takings. When I looked at the diagrams, I questioned some of the way that they're removing the mass. As you know, this is an extremely complicated code, which needs to be rewritten because no one can understand it. There's a theoretical and then what is existing.
Yes.
But from numerous interpretations, I believe that they're leaving some mass actually on the table above, if you did the 30-foot
okay.
height. And that actually might offset a lot of this mass reduction. So I'm just
okay.
saying that there may not be even a need for a variance for the mass reduction, but it's just, I'm not here to analyze. It took me over an hour just to like, what is happening here? So I'm sure that for you, it's probably
it's taken me 20 years to figure out mass reduction.
Not, I still can't do it. So.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So please.
Okay. Hi.
Please speak to the mic.
There was no 52 Mirabelle in 1985. We were fortunate enough to live next door to an empty lot with trees and native plants and flowers. 10 years ago, my then neighbors built 52 Mirabelle on that same empty lot, resulting in a 3-story house next to me. I'm not against a remodel of my neighbor's home. We enjoy a very cordial relationship, and I'd like to keep it that way. But the house is large now and looks to be even larger with the requested variances. That bothers me. I'm concerned with loss of privacy, loss of light, and loss of airspace, all of which are among the reasons I love my neighborhood. In the bigger picture, when larger and larger houses are built and or added onto, it diminishes the neighborhood quality of life that has defined Bernal Heights as a special community that it is. I'm concerned that I'm not even close to understanding all the implications of these plans, nor just how much the proposed changes will impact me. It seems to me that the remodel could be accomplished just fine without building a bigger footprint on the property. It's been challenging and time-consuming for me to figure out the best way to tackle this unexpected development at this late stage of my life. This block of Bernal is filled with wonderful people, kids, pets, bikes, strikes, yards, and among those wonderful people are Mike, Nia, and their kids, and their dog. If given more time and additional clarity on this project, I'm hopeful we will be able to work things out.
Thank
you. This with you.
Of course, yes. Thank you. Oh, you can hand it to Eva or leave it up on the top there. We'll grab it. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Is there any other public comment on item 8 for 52 Mirabelle? Seeing no other comment, project sponsor, you have a 3-minute rebuttal.
seems like you've got to do something about this light. Are you able to see?
Yeah, it's fine.
So this is the area where we're principally talking about, these property line windows. Yes, the bedroom window does have a little offset, but that's certainly not 5 feet as would be required now, or 3 feet as would have been required at the time that the property was built for an egress window or bedroom window. So that is of some concern. We do want to respect the window. We do want to respect the light and privacy that Corinne enjoys. This is the red line shows the allowable rear yard. So under the mass under the Bernal Heights plan, we would be able to extend into this area and extend into this area as well. Extend into this area as well. It seems to me and to Ian Reed, the architect, and to Mia and Mike, that building in this area is the most intrusive area that we would be able to build in terms of impact to Corinne. So we've opted to stay completely out of that area, and we discussed that with Mr. Winslow and with Linda extensively as we did the design review here, doing our best to keep this space open so sight lines from these windows, from this dormer, open to the rear yard. As I said, we haven't filed our building permit application yet. We intend to do so within the coming weeks. And we're very open to working with Corinne and Mr. Lum. We don't want to be before the Planning Commission on a DR by any means. And I don't think that we are facing irresolvable issues. So I don't think that the issues that are presented to you now would suggest that the variance could not be justified and that the design issues could be resolved between now and planning approval of a building permit application. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And I mean, I would agree. I think that, you know, with the parties that are involved here and the working relationship that seems to be started or underway, that there is no doubt a resolution that can be achieved. A couple questions on the proposed. This is one of the main issues is the light and air to the bedroom window, which is through the dormer. Both of these properties, the rears are south facing, so it should have minimal impact anyway, because most of the light's going to be coming from the south, not from the side. But certainly, you know, the morning light could be impacted. You're already set back 3 feet from the side property line, which is as much as we would often typically request a setback. But just in terms of the spirit of compromise and better understanding the top floor layout, there's a small linen closet and a laundry on the second floor. What is in between that linen and the
Mr.
laundry?
Sanchez, let me introduce the architect.
Thank you.
Ian Reed, Medium Plenty.
Hey. Yes, how are you doing?
Very good. Question was?
On the second floor plan, there's a linen closet and a laundry. And just what's that? It's not labeled, the space in between.
Is
that
it is a reading nook.
A reading nook.
So there's a larger hallway and small recessed area.
Okay.
And the intent is to create a playroom, play area for the kids, a workspace for Mia when she does work at home, that gets them out of the line of fire on the main floor.
Okay. But that could be just, you know, possibly relocated elsewhere in that hallway area, and the kids' bath could shift in a little bit. Is that something that you have looked at?
We have, yeah. And I think that's a reasonable conversation. I think that we're hesitant to make any changes immediately because we haven't had a chance to vet the full impact. And we did model the solar impact of the project, and there's minor impact on the upper story dormer, but it's about an hour reduction in direct sunlight on the during the winter solstice. Okay. So we were mindful not to impact as heavily as we could.
Thank you. I mean, I think overall it's a a sensitive addition. I'm supportive of the application as proposed, but I would hold off making a final decision until there's been some additional time for discussion in case of some minor changes are needed to be made to the plans. But I think given the orientation of the building, given the setback that already exists, given the nature of the minor changes, I think that what you've proposed is supportable. But if through the brainstorming sessions you have with the neighbors, changes that further improve upon the conditions, that would be welcome as well. As you know, the variance would be appealable to the Board of Appeals. The building permit would be something you could have a discretionary view at the Planning Commission, and then an appeal at the Board of Appeals. So there's certainly plenty of process if things aren't resolved, but would encourage you guys to meet and discuss. And I have every kind of faith and confidence that you guys can come to some reasonable resolution. But I will say that I am supportive of the project as proposed, and I will hold a final decision until maybe a week or two to have you guys discuss things before we issue a decision letter. Okay.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
And if there are any changes, please inform staff. Thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2015-015129 VAR 1523 Franklin Street, rear yard modification and street frontage variances sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Good afternoon, Mr. Sanchez. My name is Calvin Hom. I am a project manager with J.S. Sullivan Development, the project sponsor. Today, we are pleased to present to you our latest project, 1523 Franklin Street. The proposed project is an alteration and addition to an existing two-story building. Six stories will be added to the existing building, totaling 8 stories with ground floor commercial and residential parking.
Because we haven't paid our bills.
Oh, sorry. Okay, thank you. We are adding 7 new family-oriented residential units, restoration of a historical resource, and a corner neighborhood serving commercial space, which helps activate the frontages of Franklin and Austin Streets. We are seeking a rear yard modification and street frontage variance due to the following circumstances pertaining to our project. We are seeking a rear yard modification primarily due to the preservation of the historic resource, which makes it impossible for us to have a code-compliant rear yard. The proposed project is adding residential uses to an existing non-residential historic structure. This condition required non-buildable setbacks along both frontages, in particular a 13.5-foot setback along the entire Franklin frontage to preserve the integrity of the existing building. The setbacks account for 25% of the lot. We also have tiered setbacks at the last 10 feet on Austin Street due to the sun access plane requirement per section 261.1. It is also important to note that there is currently no existing rear yard, nor are we adjacent to any code-compliant rear yards, as you can see from this diagram. The next slide shows our equivalent rear yard. The bottom of the left-hand corner is our proposed rear yard, which is 15 feet by 25 feet, and accounts for 9% of the lot area. However, combining this rear yard with the front setbacks totals up to 30% of the lot, which is more than the typical 25% required by planning. We also understand that having a rear yard contributes to open space for residences. Our project has been designed to provide an abundance of open space via private decks. Each unit has their own private deck and ranges slightly above 150 square feet to over 1,000 square feet. As for the street frontage variance, there are a number of reasons why we are unable to meet the planning code section 145.1. We have constraints due to the small size of the lot. The lot is 4,200 square feet with frontages of 60 feet on Franklin and 70 feet on Austin. The residential lobby is on Franklin, while the corner commercial space contributes to the active street frontage along both Austin and Franklin. The active uses account for 62% of the total street frontage. We are unable to meet the street frontage due to our parking, but we have already designed our project to maximize the parking efficiency, utilizing car stackers with a pit. As you can see, we have also pushed the parking to the rear of the building. Now, this is a view from Austin Street. As you can see from this elevation, the existing grade on Austin slopes up, which makes our parking partially below grade. One, which is highlighted in blue, one can argue that the second floor residential unit contributes to the active street frontage along Austin. We also have constraints due to preservation of the existing historic resource. There exists a hardship of locating and creating active uses along the street frontages. However, parking has been located in the least visible location of the lot, as it is largely underground. And finally, our project provides family-sized units. All units are 3 bedrooms and up to serve families. And we feel in this particular project, vehicle storage should be provided for those that require them. And this concludes my presentation, and we hope that you agree with us that this is a well thought out project given the particular circumstances and limitations with the small site and preservation of the historic resource. I'm available for any questions. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll go to public comment and see if there's any public comment on this item for item number 9, 1523 Franklin Street. Any public comment on item number 9? Seeing none, would close the public hearing. I think I know that there was some concerns from a neighbor on Austin, which staff did receive. I was expecting someone to attend today, but think they had some concerns related to the rear yard modification. I think that the rear yard modification is very supportable. I mean, you're between a rock and a hard place with the sun access plane, with the preservation requirements, and you know, I think you've balanced that as well as anyone could. And so I think all the findings necessary for the rear yard modification have been met. It is not subject to the same findings as a variance, so you're not subject to the same 5 findings. They're much more straightforward. While I regret the number of units that are in the building and not maximizing as per the density, that is the project that you have sought, and it does meet still the findings for the rear yard modification. For the street frontage variance, so disappointed that there is the access from Franklin and not from Austin. I know that the grade differences are a problem, but it's not even the access that is before me as part of this variance. It's just the setback of the parking from Austin, and you could actually probably reconfigure it in a way and move the bicycle parking and flip those with the auto parking and wouldn't even need the variance. But I think in terms of for the accessibility for the parking, it makes the most sense to have it there. So I think, I'm somewhat reluctantly supportive of the variance application. Think that the 5 findings have been met. This is an exceptional site given the historic nature of the building and the changes that you've had to make in order to accommodate the historic attributes of the building. You are providing housing, not as much housing as we would all like to see, but we can always revise the project and add more units. And just so you know, you can, in the NC districts, you can go to the nearest R districts, which in this case, given how you measure it, could be the RC district, which would give you much, much more density, if not unlimited density. So would ask that you still consider the possibility of adding more units to the building as the project is kind of further refined. If you want to address that,
We've had this discussion with our planner as well. Yeah. So the we as a company, I don't know if you've heard of our projects that we have in the city. 1198 Valencia was finished last year, along with 241 10th Street. We have broken ground earlier this year on 1433 Bush Street, as well as 719 Larkin Street. So our mentality with all these projects when we start is to maximize density and maximize efficiency. It's just so happened that this particular site is just very, very tough, very, very hard. The square footage, the lot size is very small. This can actually, the height, the zoning, I think is 130.
Yeah.
Right? And there's no possible way we can go past the 80 foot or the 75 foot for the last hablo floor, because then it will kick it up to a high rise,
right.
And that means generator, life safety, all these issues that we cannot possibly fit into the envelope of this building, compounded with the preservation of the of the historic, existing building resource, that creates an even more bigger hardship on us. And from this, we looked at it, a number of times, and the 7-unit program, it works best in this scenario. Otherwise, we would have gone, as many units as we can. So
I understand it is a smaller site than those that they have mentioned. And I guess one question, just to put it out there, if it were not for the preservation requirements, and I'm sure you did the numbers, how many units would you be developing on the site if it weren't for the preservation?
We looked at it too. Even with a new building, it would be 7 units.
Okay.
Yes. Our original design was still 7 units.
So it's more,
we ran the analysis and everything.
It's with the factor of the lot size.
Yeah, that and actually the current design with all the setbacks, it really hurt us too as well, because we lost a lot of square footage too with this. So we're hoping that this moves forward so that we can start construction next year. Yeah.
Thank you. So seeing no public comment on 1523 Franklin Street, closed public hearing, inclined to grant the requested rear yard modification and street frontage variance. We can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2017-014608-VAR, 212 Steiner Street, rear yard variance sought.
Morning, I'm Mark O'Yonan. I'm the project sponsor and architect. I'm here with the owner of one of the units, one of the property owners. We're seeking a variance for the reconstruction of a rear garage and two-level deck at the rear of this property at the corner of Steiner and Lausat. Area in question is here. Essentially, we're reconstructing pretty much in kind with some minor modifications. Basically, this is the deck and garage are part of the historic fabric of the neighborhood and the city. This is a Sanborn map dating back to 1905. I presume the damages from fire and water. To zoom in on that, the property location is here, and you can clearly see the location of the structure at the right property. Just to look a little bit closer to us in time, this is from 1938. Again, you can clearly see that there's a structure apparently with the deck structures at the rear of the property. The density is today. I'll show you a current satellite image. You can see from 1905 to today, basically the density is the same. Here's the property in question. And these are the conditions that the deck and garage are in today. It's pretty much beyond repair, so it has to be either torn down or replaced. And the goal is to preserve the open space for the owners of the top two units and their deeded parking spaces, which are in the garage. This lower unit is not part of the design. I feel that contributes to the definition of the street and the character of the streetscape elevation. The only modifications we're looking at, get the comparison of the existing. This is the proposed floor plan, pretty much exactly like the existing. And we are going to increase the setback from the rear property to give a little bit more relief to that. This is existing and this is proposed, and to improve the fire and life safety of the property. For the elevations, these are existing and proposed. The structure we're proposing is kind of like a pared down or more efficient structural design to lighten up the character of the decks themselves. I know the owner would like to make a couple comments as well, but in conclusion, we feel like This is going to preserve the usable open space for the upper two units and the deeded parking spaces, and ultimately will have a net positive impact on the character of the neighborhood without imposing on the light and access to light and air of the neighbors. In fact, it'll give some relief to them.
Thank you. So the increased setback of that upper deck will remove the need for a firewall. Is that
exactly correct?
Thank you.
Good morning.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning.
I'm one of the property owners. I think Mark pretty much covered it. I just wanted to add the existing situation there. In our block and in the block between the laneway and Haight, you can see that I also think I heard somewhere we had a preliminary talk with one of the planners that being on a corner lot, that maintaining the streetscape down that lane is a good thing from an urban point of view, rather than having a gap in the teeth, as it were. The only other thing I wanted to mention is that we do have good relations with all our neighbors. We have 5 supporting letters from each of the immediate neighbors and another person down the lane. I think they're all looking forward to seeing this go ahead.
Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on item 10 for 212 Steiner Street? Seeing no public comment, we close public hearing. Inclined to grant the requested variance, noting substandard lot size, not only in width, but also in depth. It's replacing an existing condition that provides usable open space directly accessible from the dwelling units, actually reducing impacts on adjacent properties by further setting it back from the rear. And yeah, inclined to grant, and we can move on to the next item.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2018-003061 VAR, 776 Wisconsin Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes.
Good morning, Mr. Sanchez. This is Shervin Tarchbach. I'm the architect and the project sponsor for this case. I have the affidavit for posting as well that I sent to you. This is a relatively small project involving the addition of a small bridge and steps from the existing deck onto the rear yard. Show this photo. This is the existing kitchen deck we're talking about. We're trying to get to this area where the climbing back to grow vegetables and herbs and have it more accessible than the otherwise very roundabout way to go to the yard. We conducted a pre-application meeting at the house and only had one neighbor next door that came and was very supportive. And in fact, we have 2 letters of support that were submitted that should be in your package in favor of the project. I forgot to introduce my client, Doug Simmons, who's also here. We feel like it's a very non-intrusive and project, and it goes with the style and the intent of the use of backyards, and hope that you are supportive of it.
Thank you very much. Is there any public comment on this item number 11 for 776 Wisconsin Street? Seeing no public comment, a closed public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, noting this is the most direct way of providing a usable open space and enjoying the rear yard. It's a minimal bridge. It's not the Golden Gate. I think 12 feet is probably a little too far to jump, so it seems quite a reasonable proposal, and thank you very much.
Moving to item number 12, case number 2018-001916 VAR, 1118 DeHarrow Street, rear yard variance lot. You have 5 minutes also, ma'am.
In order to rebuild the existing 2-story deck that's on this property. Our building extends into the rear yard setback by 7.5 feet as it is, and then the existing deck is another 10 feet into the rear yard. So we need a variance in order to do any kind of work here. We've been through a couple revisions with our planner during this process, and I think the drawings have caught up, but the paperwork hasn't necessarily caught up. So the proposed project is a two-story deck that is 10 feet deep, but each side will be pulled in 3 feet from each side property line and on each level, and that way we're not required to have any firewalls. And the only real interest we've had from any of the neighbors have been the neighbor to the north. They have a ground floor extension that comes to the same level as our building, and then they also have a 10-foot deck on the ground floor extending into the rear yard. And so we're maintaining that relationship in terms of depth, but then of course we'll be further away by coming back in from the property line. And then we're also reducing the overall area of both stories of the deck by doing this reduction.
Great, thank you. And the 3-foot setback is, their deck is set back about 3 feet as well.
It seems like it, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
All right. Thank you very much. And we do have the revised plans dated 9/1/18 showing the 3-foot setback. Thank you for revising those plans. Is there any public comment on this item number 12 for 1118 DeHaro Street? Seeing no public comment, close the public hearing, inclined to grant the requested variance, noting it's an existing condition that provides usable open space directly accessible from these main living level, and the proposed revision will ensure that the revised project will not need a firewall that would further impact, negatively impact adjacent properties. And we can move on to the next item.
Moving to our last item of the agenda, item number 13, case number 2018-0046-99 VAR, 39 Diamond Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Sanchez. Apologize for losing my voice.
Uh-oh.
My annual summer coat at the wrong time. Sorry about that. Okay, basically we're seeking a variance for a rear deck. The reason for that, project sponsors, partners can go, they're living in the same building on the fourth floor. Now they can't climb the stair, so they're moving down to the first floor.
Okay.
But they like the outdoor space so they can build a deck which goes directly into the rear deck. Basically, we're asking for a 15 by 12 foot deck. We're not infringing to the last 20 feet of the rear yard. Basically, this is the plan. This is the existing rear, and then we're building a deck right here on the first floor. And right below the deck is open too. So actually, we do a covered rear deck, you know. We are doing the minimum, and we look at the sandbox map of the area, and this is a particular area that pretty dense. Almost 50% of the lot they have over, reduced rear yard. They will do pre-code error. So I hope that you can grant a variance so that the partner can live happily, a better life, okay? And thank you.
Thank you.
I entertain any question you may have.
Thank you. So the building was fairly recently constructed,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I designed the building. They built it themselves.
Oh, okay.
Oh, in fact, that they won't affect anybody. You got the next door, it's owned by
them.
Sponsor's parents.
Oh, okay. Well, I think we got one letter of opposition, so may make awkward holidays. But I guess the rear yard now is quite nice and usable, and
yeah.
Appreciate the elaborating and that it is so the property owner can move to a lower level,
yes.
Have kind of greater accessibility as they age. One concern is how this deck, which is quite large, will impact the existing backyard space. And
the backyard will be maintained, and the area under the deck will be open.
Could you? I think I see the justification for variance to some extent. I'm concerned about how large the deck is, and I saw some aerial photos of the rear yard,
yes.
But I haven't seen maybe close-up photos of the rear yard. So would you be able to send some close-up photos of the rear yard and just want to be able to see that there'll be
okay.
Adequate usable open space that's enjoyable for the other units in the rear yard, and that this won't, deck won't negatively impact.
Each unit has enough open space. The third unit will have the open space at the rear yard, I mean, at the deck, you know.
So the, there's a deck for the top floor unit?
Yeah, there's a deck for the top floor unit, yeah.
And then the they're right now in the fourth floor unit?
Three.
They're in the third floor, okay.
Yeah, so moving from the third, fourth floor to the second floor.
Okay, because does the second floor already have a deck?
No, they don't. Because what happened, we need to set back on the fourth floor. That's why the fourth floor has a deck.
Because it shows existing fourth floor with a 262 square foot deck.
Uh-huh. I think the fourth floor has a deck right there.
So I guess what's...
Yeah, this is the fourth floor deck, big deck.
Okay. So... Okay, so is the issue that more it's getting up the stairs because there's no elevator in the building?
That's the reason.
Oh, okay, so they want to have...
If you want to put a condition in, one of these stairs, when they pass, they can tear it down.
I don't know that that's entirely necessary, but okay, so I see. So it's they don't have... Okay, so it's so they can have the same... They can maintain the same open space, but at a lower level. Okay.
They have no open space for everybody.
Okay. Okay, that I understand now. Okay. Yeah, so if you could send us photos of the rear yard, that would be helpful. Okay.
Thank you. Sorry about the voice.
No problem. Hope you feel better. Get some rest.
Yeah, I will.
So, is there any other public comment on item 13 for 39 Diamond Street? Seeing none, close public hearing. Take the matter under advisement. We'll get the photos. The main concern is that given the size of the deck, it may adversely impact the usability of the rear yard. And some photos to help show that, you know, maybe that won't change. If I do feel that it will negatively impact the rear yard, we may, I see a variance is justified for a deck, but we may ask for a smaller deck. So, okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And that is...
That will be the last item.
All. So we will adjourn this public hearing and reconvene on October 24th, 2018. Someone will. So this public hearing is closed. Oh, there's actually general public comment, if there's general public comment.
But there's
that.
No more general public.
Left. Thank you. We'll adjourn this public hearing. Thank you.